Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for gathering together unto you this morning again, sharing the word of God, sharing testimony, and the word of God, worshiping the living God. Now, Father Lord, I want to share the word of the Lord. Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I will try to cover this one as quickly as I can. So, well, a little bit of, I want to read something in the book of Daniel, the 8th chapter of Daniel, beginning from the 11th verse, where maybe I give a summary. So, of the little horn mentioned in the 7th and 8th chapters of the book of Daniel, which is the same personage, that little horn is the same personage as the beast mentioned in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. So, in Daniel 8, 11 through about 14, I want to read these verses here. Yea, he, meaning the Antichrist at the end of time, magnify himself even to the prince of the host. And by him, the day sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So what we see here, I don't want to go into the prophetic things of this chapter, but so here, the revelation was being shown to Daniel, and they were told that a certain saint, it says, or some say a holy being, some say that way, but let me say a certain saint, and another saint or holy being ask a question concerning numbers, and the question was, how long shall be the vision concerning the lady sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And we know, according to the name of that certain saint is given in the Hebrew and placed in the margin of the Bible, which is meaning, his name is Parmoni, and it means the numberer of secrets, or the wonderful numberer. Oh, that means to us, this means that there is at least one holy being or angel, some say, whose function has to do with numbers. Consequently, numbers and their secrets hold an important place in the words as well as in the works of God. And Parmoni, that wonderful numberer, presides over the numbers, and he is tasked in making known the things of God. So this morning, as quickly as I can, the significance and meaning of numbers used in Scripture. The significance and meaning of numbers used in Scripture. I just brought that particular part has to show that it's important. If God Almighty designated a being to take care of them, it must be that God put some importance to numbers in the Bible. And in fact, God has been called a great geometrician. Geometrician means a special mathematician, And he said to do everything after his plan, by number, weight, and even measures. It is noted that many things in nature even conform to what is called a law of sevens. For example, there are seven notes, those who know music, in the musical scale. Seven colors of the rainbow. We all know in elementary physics, when you pass the light through the prism, break that into seven colors, right? So we know that. The law of seven. Even the leaves of plants are said, I'm not a biologist, to be largely governed in their form by the same law of seven. So we are bringing the patterns of numbers in the Bible, and even nature follows the same pattern, being the same creator that made all. And this agreement of nature with the scriptures cannot be mere coincidence at all. It reveals the fact that they are both built on a divine plan of the Almighty. Having said that, I want to go through some numbers in the Bible. Of course, it's impossible. I don't think you can spend weeks talking of all the numbers Bible talks about. I begin from one. One is the number of God. The significance of the number one is beyond all doubt. One is the symbol of Almighty God, creator of not just the universe, I will say the creator of the universes. Science has found out there are almost innumerable universes right now, you know. And that's what the Bible tells us, Hebrews 1:2. God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. The Holy Ghost put words in there before there was any science. The creator knew what he was doing. Oh, another scripture in Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So when they are finding all kinds of universes, the JWT telescope, seeing all kinds of things there, Bible already foretold those things. Anyway, so we see, one is the symbol of unity. It is the ordinal number of primacy, or if you like, preeminence. Being divisible, it is made up of no other number. It is independent of all others, and the source of all others, one is. God is independent of all. God is the source of all. See, the number of God, one is the number of God. Thus, it is written in Deuteronomy 5:6-4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is one Lord. Well, never mind the Catholic dogma of Trinity. We also know that the revelation that God is one does not exclude that God is also triune. Not Trinity, but triune. But that will mean that he manifests himself, call it offices, three offices, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The same one being, the same one personality. God one is the number of God, isn't it? Now we see. So now, as one is the beginning, so God, meaning Christ, is the beginning. God is the first in priority. God is first in rank. God is first in power and supremacy. Christ, Bible tells us, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Hebrews 1:3 says so. He's spoken of like this in Revelation 3:14. The faithful true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, talking of God being the beginning and so on, of God. Revelation 22:13, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The primacy or preeminence of God is the great fact of the universe, or universe if you want. It is the supreme revelation of the scriptures. With the primacy of God, Isaiah 44:6, thus said the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first. See, number one. I am the last also. And beside me, there is no God. Isaiah 43 verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, said the Lord, and my Sabbath whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. This our God is also the highest. And me is the highest. I know at the birth of John the Baptist, here is what the prophecy that his father gave. You know what happened, how John the Baptist was born and so forth. Anyway, here is the prophecy of his father in Luke 1:67, talking of God being the highest. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, John 1:76, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. God is the highest, isn't it? For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He is the highest. Even announcing the incarnation to Virgin Mary in Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Talking about God being the highest. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Even more about that. At the birth of Christ, the angel sang in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace go with us towards men. Yes, God is the highest. In the triumphant entry to Jerusalem, they thought he came to be made king. He told them over and over, the time is not, but you didn't listen to him. Matthew 21:9. The multitudes that went before and have followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. He is the highest. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. One symbolizes the unity of God. Talking about this number one, you cannot cover even number one. You cannot even cover all I want to say about it. I'm kind of shorting each other because of time. One symbolizes the unity of God. In Mark 12:32, and the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, he said, and there is none other but he. Talking about the unity of God and so forth, as you know, in John 10:30, the Lord said, I and my Father are one. So, and even in the epistles, we have about seven distinct unities in Ephesians 4:4-6 alone. About seven distinct unities. There is one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. I believe, number one, there are the number of God can keep on going. Number two, number two can mean many things, really. But in a sense, two is the number of union. For example, we have the union of marriage. Back in the book of Genesis 2:23-24, they shall be one flesh. So two can mean union, and more than that, really. The union of Christ and the church is mentioned in Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall the man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Two can mean union, the one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, even more about two can mean union. The disciples were even named in pairs. Let's see that in Matthew 10:2. They were named in pairs, two meaning union. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and the conjunction Andrew, his brother, in twos. James, the son of Zebedee, conjunction and John, his brother, their name in twos. Philip and Bartholomew, they two. Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and the boss, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. See? So, two can mean union, even they are named that way. The disciples were sent out two by two. We're just looking at the manifold wisdom of God in numbers, in the creation, and so on, that you know. As children of God, we are interested in everything pertaining to the word of God. So they were sent two by two in Mark 6:7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. There were two tables of testimony, even in the Old Testament, Exodus 31:18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God, we are told. Two witnesses were necessary for a fair trial according to the word of God. There have to be two witnesses for a fair trial. Both Old and New Testament mention the same thing. I go to the Old Testament for Deuteronomy 19:15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for anything, in anything that he sinned. At the mouth of two witnesses, and so forth, that you know. And you can see there are two witnesses and so forth. And shall the matter be established, he says. Two witnesses will prophesy during the great tribulation. Talking about the number two, right? Two witnesses will prophesy during the great tribulation. Revelation 11:3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Close in sackcloth. Now let me stop here about union. However, it can mean other things too. Two can also indicate difference and division. It can. Two is the first number that can be divided. It therefore indicates possibility of division or difference. The number two may have good or bad import actually. In the case of man, the difference more often implies opposition or strife. The fourth verse of the Bible speaks of God. Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. I said, you can meet the vision, right? Look at the second verse. Speak of chaos, a condition of universal ruin and darkness. Here's what it says in verse 2. One is God is beginning. But number 2 now, chaos and so forth. Division. And the heart was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we see on the second day of creation, there was division. God said in verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water. Just talking about the manifold wisdom of God in numbers. You know, I'm talking about, you know. Now, let's see number two alone, union or division. There is more to that. There's so much you can put in just, I don't know, 30 minutes or so here. Number three, divine perfection. Three is the number of divinity. It is called the divine number because it is mentioned so often in conjunction with holy things. It speaks of the triunity of God, not Trinity now, the triunity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In 1 John 5:7, get out theory that there are record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, And these three, we are told, are one. Three speaks of the triunity of man himself, spirit, soul, and body. There are three great feasts of the Jews. You have the Passover, the Pentecost, and Tabernacles. They are the threefold character of the apostolic benediction. The one we like to say here is in 2 Corinthians 13, 14. There are three fold character of it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, and the love of God, number two, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. See? Threefold character of the apostolic benediction. I like that one. We say it all the time. Some people don't like to talk about the communion, they say the communion, but the Bible says so. Even the Bible, book of Revelation, close with such a thing, right? Anyway, there are three temptations of Christ. You all know that. Luke 4, 3 to 12. There are three prayers of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26. First time he went to pray, came back, they were all sleeping. Came back again, can't you watch with me for one hour? Third time he went again. Okay, sleep for now, he said. Anyway, number three and so forth, that you know, divine perfection and so forth. And there are three deniers of Christ by Peter. You all know that. Mark 14, 72. And the second time, they called crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him. Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. In the vision of the certain vessel in Acts chapter 10 and 11, you know, Cornelius and so forth, a great sheet laid down from heaven by the four corners, upon which were four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. A voice said to Peter, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat." Bible says in Acts 11, it said, "This was done three times." And all these things, you know, were said as well as you know. Even the number of men that Cornelius said to Peter in Joppa were three. Acts 11, 11 says so. The number three is also associated with the restoration of Israel. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "Come and let us return unto the Lord." This kind of a message, just enjoying the word of God. You know what we are doing here? That all kind of sermon we can preach. I mean, the manifold wisdom of God in everything that He created, and this time in numbers and so forth. Anyway. Let us return unto the Lord, for He has turned and He will heal us. He has smitten and He will bind us up. Restoration of Israel, number three, has to do with it. And after 2 days, will He revive us. In the third day, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. The number three is associated with the deliverance of Jonah and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 12, 40 says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the waste belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The number three is a very prominent in the threefold ascription in the book of Revelation. Let me show you this one. The Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in Revelation 1:8. Now, see the ascription. "He which is, and was," number two, "and is to come." Even in Revelation 1:5, "He is spoken of as the faithful witness, the four begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth." The four living creatures chanted, not four times now, but three times, "Holy, holy, holy, unto the Almighty," Revelation 4:8. And they do three things. They give what? They give Him glory, in Revelation 4:9. One, and they give Him honor, and they give him thanks. There are three world trumpets. Revelation 13. And behold, and had an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, there are three of them, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to stand. In Revelation 16:13, three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Three plagues had to come upon Babylon not too long ago. We talked about the origin and the fall of Babylon. We went on to finish the Babylon series with the commercial Babylon, right? So that you know. Anyway, three plagues had to come upon commercial Babylon. Revelation 18:8. Therefore shall a plague come in one day. Death, number one. And money, number two. And famine. And three classes of people will be with her, missing Babylon, when he falls. Who are they? In verse 17 of Revelation 18. The kings of the earth, sorry, Revelation 18:9. The kings of the earth, one, will be with her. 18:11. The merchants of the earth will be with her. 18:17. And the seamen of all stars will be with commercial Babylon when it falls. There are but a few more we can talk about, number three in the Bible, but I'm going to stop right there so I can put in some other numbers here. Just enjoy the scripture, that is joy of the scripture. The number three is also prominent in nature. Yeah, not only the scripture, it's in nature, true nature work with the Bible, right? In nature. The primary colors of solar light, RGB, red, green, blue, right? We all know that. The sun itself is said to be Trinity, whose manifestations are light, heat, and chemical rays. There are three kingdoms in nature. Animal kingdom, vegetable kingdom, the manifold wisdom of God, and the mineral kingdom. Matter exists in three forms, gaseous, liquid, and solid. The great forces of nature are three, gravity, light, and electricity. Talking about nature, I've got to read the Bible, talking about nature. The issue of the earth between the fall of man and the renovation of the earth by fire is divided into three ages. The antediluvian, this present age, number two, and the millennial age, all bounded by great climatic changes. Let's leave three alone and go to four. Four is the number of the world. There are four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and autumn. There are four points of the compass. You all know that, north, east, south, and west. There are four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. The river that flowed out of the Garden of Eden was divided into four parts. That's in Genesis 2, 10 to 14. I don't have time to read that, but we all are Bible students. Ezekiel had a vision of the cherubim described in Ezekiel chapter 1 and even 10. And so in verse 5, they call them the likeness of their four living, talking about number four living creatures. They call them in Ezekiel chapter 1, 5. And everyone in verse 6 had four faces. Talking about number four. And everyone had four wings. In verse 10, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion, and the right and the right side, and the and they four had the face of an ox at the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. And even though they are cherubims, they are described as earthly creatures. The great world power revealed to Daniel through the dream of Nebuchadnezzar are four. Talking about number four being the world number, right? Babylon, we all know that, Medo-Persia Empire, Greece, Rome, and so on, that, four. before what judgment to come upon the nations are war, famine, pestilence, and earthquake. Let me read that scripture right here, because we are living that time right now. Matthew 24, verse 6. Before what judgment to come. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. One, see that ye be not terrified or troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end shall not be. Number two, for nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence. Famine, number two, pestilence, number three, and earthquake in diverse places. As we speak now, there are things that have to clean up from one of them. Back in Morocco, on the 8th of this month, 6.8 earthquake on the Richter scale plummeted the nation. Over 3,000 have so far died. The last time they have earthquake that's in that place is 120 years ago. Jesus said in that place, we are living at the end time. Anyway, the four things to plague this world at the end of the age. Further, there are four divisions of the human race. You have nation, kindred, peoples, and tongues. Let me read that scripture in Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, one, and kindreds, two, and people, three, and tongues, number four, two before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. People have been wondering, who are these people? Who are these multitude and so forth? The Bible is its own interpreter. No scripture is ever of private interpretation. If you get a private one, it's false. That will line up with the rest of the scripture. Verse 14 told us who they are. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There are four portraits of Christ. Represented by four Gospels. We all know that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What's quickly wrong with this now? God saw judgment upon Jerusalem are four. Let's see that in Ezekiel chapter 14, 21. For thus said the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem? What are they? The sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from each man and beast. In the Old Testament, the brazen altar where they offer the sacrifices had four sides and four horns. Exodus 27 verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. That's how I'm going with number four. And the altar shall be 4 square. That's what it says. And even the horns, there will be four of them in India in verse 2. Going forward, the new Jerusalem will be 4 square. Revelation 21:26. And the city lies 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 columns, the length and the breadth and so forth. The eyes are all equal. That's number four, just in a nutshell. There is more you can put to each of these numbers. Let's look at number five. I will also call the number of division. Number of division. This number is not frequently used in the Bible or doesn't occur frequently. Let's get about two or three. Matthew 25 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamb and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Talking of that five division, right? And five of them were divided. Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. tell the manifold wisdom of God in Numbers in the Bible. Just enjoying ourselves, I believe. The Lord fed the multitude at one time, 5,000 men, he says, number 5, with 5 loaves. Matthew 14 says so. David took 5 smooth stones from the brook. That we are not too familiar with, let me read it in 1 Samuel 17:40. And he, meaning David, took his staff in his hand and chosen 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine, meaning Goliath. So just hide there. There are 5 digits on each hand and foot, as we all have. The book of Moses, the Pentateuch, they call it the Pentateuch, right? There are 5 of them right here, number 5. There are 5 senses, we all have that, don't we? Number 6, the number of man. Man was made on the 6th day. I don't want to go to scripture because there is no time. He is appointed days, 6 days of labor. The Hebrew slave was to serve 6 years in the Old Testament. For 6 years, the land was to be sown and to rest on the 7th day. The kingdoms of this world are to last 6,000 years, according to many scriptures and so on, as you know. Moses was compelled to wait for 6 days on the man before God revealed himself to him. Exodus 24, 15 to 18, I don't want to read that, you know, to save time. 6 days, the children of Israel compared the city of Jericho before the walls fell on the 7th day, Joshua 6, 1 to 20. There were 6 steps to Solomon's throne, 1 Kings 20, 19. It was 6 days after the Lord foretold his coming glory before he took his disciples to the mount where he was transfigured before them. Let's read that also. Matthew 16, which we have talked about, how many times the transfiguration, Matthew 16, 28. Verily I say unto you, that the son standing here which shall not taste of death, till they shall see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Then go to 17:1, right here. And after 6 days, that's what I'm going, Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. Nebuchadnezzar, a type of those who will defy man at the end of the age, erected a golden image, typical of himself, in the place of Dura, and commanded that the rulers and people of his provinces to fall down before it and worship it under penalty of being thrown into the burning fiery furnace. That is in Daniel chapter 3. We all are familiar with this scripture. The dimension of the image are worthy of note. Talking about number 6 now, and deification of man. It was 6 cubits high and 6 cubits broad. It was prophetic of the image of the beast that the false prophet will command the people to make in the day of the beast or Antichrist. Revelation 13 tells us all of that. And it is significant that the number of the beast is 666. All familiar scripture. So we are living in the day or the day when men are seeking the deification of man, or to deify man and his powers, and dethrone the living God, and they will reach the consummation of their desire when they, for commercial reasons, commercial Babylon and so on, that, you know, in Revelation 13 also, commercialism and so on, we worship the beast. This is man's day, and its symbol is 6. We stop short of 7. Having said that, let me move to 7 then. 7, the number of perfection. 7 is made up of the sum of 3 and 4. This is one. This is of the divine number and the word number. It is more frequently used in the scripture than any other number really. I will go through some of them. It stands for the seventh day, where I'm going to skip that really. Enoch was the seventh from Adam, Jude 1:14. There were 7 days of grace after Noah entered into the ark. Genesis 7:4 says so. For yet 7 days, the Bible says in Genesis 7:4, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and so forth. So it took 7 days to before the rain started and so on. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel and of course for Leah too. There were 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine in Egypt in the days of Joseph and the Pharaoh. At the taking of Jericho, 7 priests with 7 trumpets marched at the head of the people 7 times around the city. There was a 7-branch candlestick in the tabernacle. The lamb was to rest in the 7th year. Solomon was 7 years in building the temple and kept his feast for 7 days. Job had 7 sons. When his friends came to visit him, they sat 7 days and 7 nights. I'm saying that 7 is one of the most severally used in the Bible of all numbers. They sat in silence. And afterward, the friends of Job, they were required to offer a burnt offering of 7 bullocks and 7 lambs. Naaman, the leper, you all know that one, was 7 times in the Jordan. The blood was to be sprinkled 7 times before the mercy seat, Leviticus 16:14. There were 7 feasts of Jehovah, some of which lasted 7 days. I can't begin to name them right now. The Savior spoke 7 words, I would say 7 sentences on the cross. I can't leave them here. One of them, he talked about the tip on, you know, that's a bit of things today in paradise and so forth. Anyway, there are 7 of them. If you look at that one right here. 7 men of honest report in Acts chapter 6, I believe it is here, were chosen to administer. You know, there were controversies about the distribution of food and so on like that, you know. Anyway, but talking about 7, it was not until we come to the book of Revelation that we see the significance of the number 7 really. What the number, couple of them here. The book is addressed to the 7 churches of Asia by him who stands in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks and for the 7 spirits before his throne, and was to be sent to the 7 stars or 7 messengers of those churches. There is a 7-seal book which is opened by the lamb having 7 arms and 7 eyes. 7 seals are broken, 7 thunders uttered an unwritten message, 7 angels sound 7 trumpets, and 7 angels pour out 7 golden vials containing the 7 last plagues. There is a beast with 7 heads. And a dragon with 7 heads, and 7 crowns on the head. There are 7 mountains, in fact, number 7 is mentioned up to 50 times in the book of Revelation alone, number 7. I'm going to leave that one alone, quickly go to number 8. No, I can't cover all numbers in the Bible, right? So I'm going to quickly shorten it in the 2, right? Number 8. The number of new order of things. The 8th day is the beginning of a new week. The Jewish Shabbat was on the last or 7th day of the week. The Lord Jesus rose on the 4th day of a new week, or called the 8th day. His resurrection, talking about new things, his resurrection introduced a new order of things. The Christian Sabbath and the new creation or regeneration of the soul. So we see that God commanded Abraham to circumcise every male child on the eighth day. Now, Noah was the eighth person that was saved from the flood. 2 Peter 2:5. David was the eighth son of Jesse. A new order, right? A new king, a king after God's own heart of the appointed, right? A new king, right? Anyway, he was the eighth son of Jesse. And you know that. What is going on with this one? Anyway, so blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For time, what is going on with this thing? Now, I'm going to tell you right now the number of worldly completion. It is made up of the sum of the word number 4 and see the number of man. It is probably, number of word completion. It is made up. Number of worldly completion. It is made up of the sum of the word number 4 and 6. And the number of man. Probably because it's based upon the decimal system. Because we have ten fingers and 10 toes, right? It was looked upon as a complete number and was used as such in the Ten Commandments. So there are 10 commandments, right? In the parable of the 10 virgins, like I said before, it gives the legal number necessary for a Jewish function. In the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar, dream, image, and the 10 horns of Daniel's fourth beast, they are the same thing, right? You know, I don't want to go into that one, but 10 toes and the 10 horns, Daniel, they all point to the 10 kings or kingdoms typified by the 10 horns of John's beast in Revelation. So, we see the summing off of Gentile power in 10 federated kingdoms at the end of time, which will complete with the completion of worldly Gentile rule, which will be destroyed by the stone kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the 10 pieces of silver and so on in Luke chapter 15. The woman and so on going to look for one of them. And we have the 10 servants to whom were entrusted 10 pounds and were rewarded by being given authority over 10 cities. Luke chapter 19 tells us that. And we have the 10 plagues of Egypt and the other use of the number 10 in the Bible. I don't have enough time to go through those. So jump to 12, the number of eternal perfection. It is the product of the divine number 3 and 4. There were 12 tribes of Israel. 12 stones in the high priest's breastplate. 12 cakes of shoe bread. 12 wells of water at Eli. 12 spies were sent into Canaan. Joshua placed 12 stones in the bed of Jordan. Elijah built an altar of 12 stones. In the New Testament, we read that at 12 years of age, Jesus, our Lord, visited the temple. That he chose 12 disciples, or apostles rather. And as his father would send at his request 12 legions of angels if he needed it. Then there was a woman who was deceased for 12 years. And the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus that was raised from the dead. Talking about number 12. In the book of Revelation, we read of the woman with the crown of 12 stars. And that the New Jerusalem has 12 gates. And the gates have 12 angels. That it has 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, that is this their 12 manner of truth that it lie four square right before and measure 12,000 furlongs on each side, and that the height of the wall is 144 cubits, that is 12 by 12. We are also told that in the regeneration, the 12 apostles will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, Matthew 19:28. Thus it is clear that in the final consummation of all things, Israel and the church shall have their place in the new earth and the new city. Now I want to do the last one here this morning. Number 40, number of provision. 40 is the number of provision. It can be many things, just like too many things. At the flood, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on probation for 40 years in Egypt. 40 years in the desert. Probation 40 years in the desert and 40 years with the children of Israel in the wilderness. The spies were 40 days spying out the land, and Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness. The reign of Saul, the reign of David, and the reign of Solomon each lasted 40 years. Goliath defied Israel for 40 days. Nineveh was given 40 days to repent. Elijah fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So did our Lord. Anyway, the Lord was tempted 40 days and so forth, in the fasting and so forth, and appeared 11 times during 40 days after his resurrection. Punishment by flogging was limited to 40 stripes save one. All these instances show that God was not hasty in his judgment, but gave man ample time for a fair trial. Where there are other numbers mentioned in scripture, such as 70, or the one that Sister mentioned, you have 120, you have 144, etc. But this morning, it is just not necessary to pursue all of them. All we are showing is that, there is a symbolism attached to the numbers in scripture, what we are trying to show. So this morning, we are talking about the 40 years anniversary, praise the Lord. Somebody is 10 years today, praise the Lord. Talking about 10, we're talking about, I could have talked about 17 too, because today is 17, right? Or even 92, today is in September. Anyway, so just fascinating things in the Bible, sometimes call it Bible study if you will, and just joyfulness in enjoying the Bible and so forth. Now, let me close with this thing here. Many a time, let me say to you, God has not forgotten you. Whatever you are going through, you go through, God has not forgotten you. When Christians think that way, they're not alone. Even the Bible, they think, so let me read one scripture to you here. Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O heart, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted.
Amen.
That's right. But Zion said, the Lord has forgotten me, has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. God hasn't forgotten you. What are you going through? It's with you. He said, can a woman forget a talking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet we are not forget DNA.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And finishing that this morning, talking about numbering, I think God is called a geometrician, a specialized mathematician. In Luke 12, and all five sparrows, two for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. Verse 7 says, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. See that? Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The great geometrician, God, even he numbered the very hairs of our head. He cares for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So he hasn't forgotten you. He never forgets you. Father, we thank you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Kind of a message of enjoying ourselves in the manifold wisdom of God in the creation, in nature. I'm not just like a tip of the iceberg, really. But it's all well, too, and we have enjoyed the word of the Lord, I believe. Father, we thank you and we worship you. And that last part, prophetic and so forth, we never forget you. I think forgotten you. Man said the Lord is mindful of us in another place. You see, it's very tough to also. They are more than this. Sound by the seashore. Father, we thank you for caring for us, Lord. We can live confidently. Our head, no matter what you are passing through, our head is lifted up. Greater is he that is in us than that is in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Little children, you have overcome them.
Amen.
Put the devil under your feet. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. More than conquerors are we. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you praise and glory. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.